Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today is the producer, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello, Pat. And the one and only, your friend and ours, Chris Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, hello. We are excited, to be with you. VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. Light of the world. We want to give a shout out to all of our Facebook fans, friends. Thank you for connecting with us all over the world. We're doing this together. Coast to coast, country to country.
All over the world.
All over the world. The truth.
That sounds funny.
Encouragement. Yeah, it does. God's good. God's good. We have so much to share with you today. I caught myself.
That was a good job. Good job.
Felt Chris's look.
Keeping you on your toes, man.
We've been talking about Israel. We've been talking about God has your back. And the fear of the Lord is so much more. Well, you know, guys, we are back. We are back live today. We're so excited about being together and being with you, our VFN Radio listeners. You guys are so encouraging to us, and we thank you for your partnership and your friendship and your love, and just it's just so encouraging. We just love it, and we love all your comments, and we're just glad that we're all doing this together.
Amen. We're all doing this together. Back in the saddle again.
Back in the saddle. So, Pat.
Yeah,
you had an interesting weekend. Talk to us.
I got
what's going on with Pat today?
Well, I got a good workout. Was it Saturday? Man, I think it was the best workout I've ever had in my entire life.
I'm glad.
I've never sweat so much. I think
that's awesome.
Ever. It was just amazing.
Ever?
Yeah. Well,
ever.
Tell us about this workout. This, I mean, those biceps.
Somebody called me up. Said, "Hey, man, I need some help, man. Can you come help me?
Can you help me out, please?
Can you help a brother out?
Can you help my brother out?"
So I said, "Of course, man. I'd love to be able to help you out." So I got to move my good friend and comrade. Not once.
But twice.
In the same day.
How
it
about
was a
that?
Beautiful thing.
Well, I certainly appreciate your help. Listen, I even got you some backup. Chris came and helped out. You know, the master packer and loader. If you need somebody moved,
this is your guy.
We're gonna put his number out in the air in a little while and the torch you.
We'll post his phone number.
Hold up.
I mean, this man can load up. Listen, talk about space. Whenever you think you need a truck, just get two sizes smaller. You invite Chris. He'll make sure you get it all in.
Hey, we got it.
Every nook and cranny. But my goodness, was that a workout or what? I don't remember it ever taking this long.
How much stuff could actually fit in that truck?
I didn't know you had so much stuff.
I know, right? I thought you downsized.
It just kept coming and coming.
I did. It's just junk, I guess. No, honey, it's not junk. But, you know, stuff. It's amazing what you accumulate, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh.
It's just amazing.
I can imagine how to do that again.
No, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine it for a long time.
Let's hope not, right?
Let's hope not.
It really turned me off from wanting to move.
Oh, my goodness.
But there was a bright side to this.
Not only did I get to
move my brother.
Yes.
But I got to witness the most interesting, odd.
What? Please.
Strange looking animal. Just pops up on my phone.
Strange?
Just this mop looking thing.
Isaiah, cover your ears. Cover your ears.
I said, what? What is this? What is that?
What is that?
That does not look like diesel to me. What happened to diesel? This is not diesel. And he says, well, this is my new dog. You're what? That's a dog?
Children, cover your ears. Mr. Pat really does not mean this.
That's not a dog. That looks like my mop.
He is dissing our family edition.
Look.
Our family edition. The kids. First of all, my dog. I guess he's my dog now, too. He's in the house.
I believe he's sitting on your desk.
Oh, that is my desk.
In your office.
Well, he was left there. They leave the house to run errands, and they leave me with this little dog. Now, I always say, lock the dog up. Don't, you know, I'm not used to this dog. They just brought it home. And I'm like, lock the dog up. So all of a sudden, I'm in the office working. And I hear it. Shh, shh, shh. I'm like, oh, no. Do not tell me this dog is outside. So I couldn't leave him. I mean, he was, you know, whimpering.
Just,
you know.
Just couldn't.
Listen, I'm not a cold-hearted, you know. I have a little soft side. I brought the dog in.
A few soft sides.
One or two now. And he nicely laid down right next to me. That is a very smart poodle. That is a, and by the way,
that's
a poodle.
A poodle.
Apricot poodle.
Apricot.
I learned that I had no idea what that was, but it's very, very smart.
And what is this apricot poodle's name?
His name is Sunny.
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 Sunny. So,
okay.
Yeah. My son took a huge liking to that dog, and he was given that dog by his grandmother. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank Grandma. You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Grandma, thank you.
I needed that.
thank you, Lola. And oh my goodness, they're inseparable. Diesel now hasn't made it inside the house. The 75-pound Doberman
has
is
he
still,
made it to your house?
He's made it to the house. He's made it there.
He has not been abandoned.
He's not been abandoned. Okay. He's not been abandoned. He has made it there. And boy, he's a good guard dog. He was barking all night long. Think what is happening back there? I don't know if he was chasing squirrels or something, but all
right.
Or a person. I don't know. Don't go in the backyard.
You just may let not, me know.
You may not come back out, but Diesel has made it over to the house. And yes, Sonny has made it over. And but Chris, did you detect a little bit of something in someone's heart here this morning? I mean,
nah.
You
didn't. Nope, not at all.
You're going to leave me out there like that. Huh?
I had the privilege of having Pat's son over to the house this weekend. In fact, he's still there.
Is he really?
And we got to talk about Samson.
Oh, please do tell us how Samson does not behave.
I have some good reports on Samson.
Yeah, yeah.
Stop going in the bathroom? In the house? What? What's going on with Samson? What's he doing?
No, just Jonathan, just let me know how much he loves his dog. And just he was just so excited to come over and play with Frankie because Frankie moves.
He moves. He moves.
Oh. Samson doesn't appear to move.
what are you talking about?
Do they feed him?
We ain't talking about the same dog,
apparently.
Do they
feed him over there?
According to the son.
According to the son.
Okay. Allegedly, the son says, Samson is not moving.
He'll run around in a circle and then lay down.
Then lay
one circle.
One circle. Wow.
He's talking about Holly, obviously.
Wow. We're going to have to go.
No, Holly don't move.
We're gonna have to go to the Ponderosa, to the compound over there, and go check out what's going on with these dogs. Make sure that they're being fed and taken care of.
Oh, he's being fed.
Oh,
he's being fed.
Is that why he can't move?
That's why he can't.
Look, I'll tell you what. Now that dog, he's got a little bit of I guess Holly's finally rubbing off on me.
Uh-oh.
Just a little bit.
Uh-oh.
I got him to fetch.
Really?
What?
Yes. Yes.
Oh my goodness.
He fetches. Yeah. It's amazing.
Wow.
And it didn't take but the first time, and he just did it.
That's what Frankie did.
Over and over again.
He fetches.
Until his mother walked in the room.
Oh gosh. Uh-oh.
Mama walks in the room.
Uh-oh.
So I say, hey, look, check this out. I throw the thing. And he made me look like such a liar. He made beelines right for her.
Oh my goodness.
I was like, great.
Right. Yeah.
You know how these dogs are. It's amazing. It's amazing how much fun these little pets can be. Or these big pets, companion. They bring a lot of companionship. I didn't realize it's really, I mean, I didn't know this so many years later, but they're really good for someone who's, you know, alone or a senior. It's a great someone that's coming, you know, sick and recovering. I tell you, I mean, you can get so close to an animal and they're so loving, you know, and it's a great thing. It really is a great thing. If they're trained and
this
clean.
Is important.
Yeah. If they're not trained, you don't want a dog. Not a good thing.
Mm-mm.
Well, you know, guys, we've been talking about on VFN Radio, the Bible series with Mark Burnett. And some really amazing thing is happening. Well,
oh, wow.
Charisma News reporting that they're going to make a feature version, a movie version of the Bible. I mean, you know.
In one movie?
And well, it's actually the emphasis is going to be on Jesus.
Oh, okay.
And how awesome is that?
Yeah.
But Mark Burnett has been hammering this deal out, and basically they're reporting that it's going to be they're preparing for a 3-hour movie version. Three hours now, okay? And it's going to be, you know, phenomenal. He's talking it up. They just did some editing for it, and. They're really, you know, pumping this up. I mean, they've had such a huge success with the Bible miniseries that broke all sorts of records. Now, you got to understand, Mark Burnett is the one who produced hit programs like Survivor, Celebrity Apprentice, The Voice. All of that, those are his projects, his creations. They've all been number one and, all you know, broken all sorts of records. But this Bible series, you know, has done extremely, extremely well. And this is what he's quoted as saying. He says, I believe that in the next 15 years, more people on the planet will have seen our Bible series than haven't seen it. In 15 years.
Wow.
I mean, it's amazing how many people, you know, can be reached just by a movie. I know that the Jesus film, they would take that all over the world for missions, put up a big old screen, and play this the Jesus film.
Mm-hmm.
And many, many people came to the Lord just by watching it.
Wow. That's awesome.
I remember watching this missionary video to people who didn't know anything about the gospel, Jesus, nothing. And, you know, these folks that were just in a remote island and how these missionaries taught them, they acted out the Bible and drew it out from Genesis all the way till they got to Jesus. And you should see the reaction of the people's faces when Jesus was being crucified, and they were wailing and crying. I mean, it's probably one of the best, I guess it's like kind of a documentary type thing, but how the gospel came to this village. Oh, it was just absolutely amazing. And just by simple acting and drama, there's an anointing on that. There really is. There's an anointing done in the right way, of course. And this media mountain, this entertainment mountain can really be taken for the Lord and be used in a powerful way, especially this generation is so into graphics and, you know, all the technology and the plasma and the LED and the LCD screens and all that type of stuff. Everything is digitized, and you can really produce something of quality that draws people in and it really does, you know, the gospel well. In fact, they said when the Bible debuted, 13.1 million viewers. It was the highest rated cable show of the year. And on Easter alone, 11.7 million viewers tuned into the last episode. So, you know, Mark Burnett is quoted as saying that it's a God voice. It's a God voice, he told the reporters. That it's clearly a calling. We clearly felt it was something we had to do. And too many things happen to explain it any other way. It's a juggernaut, and it's not going to slow down.
Wow.
And that's how it is. I mean, when God calls you to do something, you're compelled to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a choice. I said, people, how did you do that? It's like, I didn't have a choice.
That's right.
I didn't have a choice. I was compelled. God called me. This is what I have to do, and I'm doing it, and I'm joining it. I'm loving it. But it's, you know, when there's a calling, you just have no choice. You have no choice to do it, whether it's going to be accepted, not accepted, whether it's going to be liked or not liked. It's irrelevant. If God says to do it and he's calling you to do it, you just do it.
Mm-hmm.
You just do it. And a movie and a program like this, you know, could not have been, you know, highly anticipated in Hollywood. And you could only imagine what it had to go through. But you know what? If God's in it, you got to get out the way.
Right.
You know, if God's in it, watch out, because he's going to do what he's going to do. But I thought it's very encouraging. So be looking out for that. It's going to be a movie and another way to, you know, evangelize and share the gospel. And check out the Jesus film. We're probably going to have that related on the torch for you, where you can see the Jesus film. But I can't tell you how many millions, mm-hmm. I believe it's millions of people that have seen this simple mm-hmm. film, this simple film that take to remote villages, and they'll put up this screen and invite the whole village out to watch the Jesus film. Mm-hmm. And it's drawn so many people to the Lord. It's just been absolutely wow. amazing. So that's very, very encouraging. You know, last week sometime, we talked about failure not being final. Mm-hmm. If you remember down the torch, if you missed that program on VFN Radio, you really want to go to the torch and search for failure, and you'll see a segment entitled Failure is Not Final. And it's so important because sometimes we reach a destination and we reach a point where that we think we hit a bottom.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when we hit it, we were tempted to think, well, I can't come bounce back after this one, or I, you know, the comeback kid and it is over, and I can't, you know, this is the end of it. And we talked about how Tony Dungy, former Super Bowl champion head coach, gave an encouraging word to Tim Tebow. I mean, Tim Tebow was released from the Jets, even though he had a $1 million contract. Mm-hmm. For the first time in his career, he's without a football team. And Tony Dungy gave him an encouraging word and says, God has a place for you. God has a place for you. And guess what? That prophetic word came to pass. Tim Tebow is getting signed by the New England Patriots.
Yeah, right. How about that?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, he's getting signed with the New England Patriots.
Yep.
And, I mean, with Brady there, right?
Yeah, Brady. And the guy who actually drafted him when he was with Denver, Daniels, the coach. He's the one drafting. Well, he's back with the Patriots.
You're kidding.
He's the quarterback coach.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Wow. So Daniels,
now he's back with the original guy that drafted him.
That believed in him over at Denver.
Yes. Full circle.
Things come full circle. Cool. So the coach that drafted him at Denver, after he drafted him, was no longer the head coach
there. After 2 years, they let him go.
They let him go, and now they've combined. I'll tell you what, I mean, it's just probably a God thing for this young man who just loves God, bold witness, and I think all of this is going to continue to preach just volumes, but it just continues to say that, look, it's not over. And there's so many people, you know, that can be against you when you're trying to just do something. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? This is a guy who's taken so much blasting
mm-hmm.
from a person who is not, you know, in the media at all, dogging people out or speaking negatively. He's not doing anything, what I'm trying to say, to merit the type of tongue lashing that he has gotten. In fact, I think he's been very humble and just, you know, taken a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing how he's, you know, he's just been able to persevere and endure. And look, failure's not final. God has a place for him.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's back with this
reunited,
coach. And probably going to be mentored by Hall of Fame.
Yeah, exactly.
Quarterback now.
Yeah, from what I've been hearing, they said that this is probably the perfect situation that he could actually walk into of all the teams in the NFL that he could, because just the way the organization is run, because I mean, they've won multiple championships, and it's because of the way they're being run. It's not necessarily the most talented, but just the way they handle their team.
Yeah. And they're a class act.
Yeah, classy guys, character guys. You don't see a lot of
foolishness,
stuff,
right?
Foolishness coming from them.
That's so good.
Yeah. So
that's good. Well, we're looking forward to seeing. And he's in camp. I mean, they're in camp. I mean, because all these football athletes were
fixing to start. Yeah, I think it's pretty soon.
And here he has a place to show up.
He's got a job right now.
So that's very, very encouraging. Watch out for football this year because it's going to be good.
Yeah. mm-hmm.
It's going to be exciting, and it's going to be really, really good. Also, in kind of the area of sports, and we've been talking about this for a little while, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how you can worship God no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing as your profession. Listen, you can glorify God with your life 24 hours a day. It's not limited to a couple of hours on any given, you know, day of the week. You can live and glorify God all 7 days a week, all 24 hours if you'd like. And when we come back, we're going to share with you someone who's actually doing that. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is, I've heard a lot of talk about the conscience laws lately as regards to like the medical community.
Right.
Yeah, I was wondering about the fact that we spend millions of dollars every year as taxpayers that we might not feel good about, that we have no say over, that goes to abortion.
Well, what's interesting is the Supreme Court, on the issue of how your taxes are spent, have said that's a general obligation of being a citizen of the United States of America. And when you have to pay your taxes, that means sometimes your government may spend money you disagree with. The difference on the conscience clause issue is it's an individual right that you have to not violate your conscience through an action. And paying the taxes is not one of those.
Learn more about our work and receive timely updates on the most critical issues facing our country today by visiting us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
I want to continue talking about the kingdom of God. He says when you're born again, the very first thing you do is seek first the kingdom of God. You know, and that's the king's dominion in your life, taking over parts of your life. And then when he tells you us to go out, he tells us all to go out. It's not you don't pray if you should go. You need to pray if you should stay. And by the way, I can tell you what he's probably going to say right now.
Yeah.
Because he had, think about it. He allowed the church, the original church, the original intent of God in Jerusalem, because we have a tendency. We all have a tendency as human beings. Mm-hmm. We just kind of gravitate towards comfort and convenience and predictability and what makes our flesh feel good. Mm-hmm. And the church has kind of hung around in Jerusalem. You know, they hung around Jerusalem. It's like, well, the goal, the original intent of Jesus is to go out into all the world, you know, Jerusalem, Judea. Hello, is somebody talking about Judea, right? I don't like Judea out there. I like Jerusalem. You know, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts. And so in that, you know, they just kept staying. And so God allowed persecution to come to the church. And how you know he allowed it is because they ran the church off, but for some reason, they didn't run the apostles off. So the apostles still stayed in Jerusalem. If you're going to try to stop a nation, if you're going to try to stop something, you're going to go for the leadership. But the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. And remember when Paul went back, he went back to the Christian Jews in Jerusalem and asked for wisdom about what's happening out in the outskirts and what was going on in the Samaria and the uttermost parts. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, they had to be persecuted, Pat. Mm-hmm. They had to be persecuted to go out. I mean, that's how much God's into going out and spreading his kingdom. He says that when you go, when I send you out, I want you to preach the kingdom of God and preach that the kingdom is near you. And when they receive Jesus as their king, as their Lord, as their Savior, and they say, I want him to be the Lord of my life, then at that point, the kingdom has expanded. It didn't expand when you built a wing on your building. It didn't expand when you actually got a new staff member. Mm-hmm. It didn't expand when, you know, you read more scripture that day. It expanded when you told somebody about the king and they said, oh my goodness. And they say, I know. And they receive him. And then the kingdom expanded from your heart to their heart. And now both of you guys are carrying the kingdom of God. We're like kingdom containers. Mm-hmm. That's the original intent. The original intent is for everybody to hear, everybody to be given an opportunity to receive the king and his kingdom and to begin to seek his kingdom. And then we're out of here because our king is coming back. King of kings and Lord of lords. And we're going to live with him forever. And if you're thinking it's about a building, if you're thinking it's about a stuff or the next song or your talent, you know, or your gift, listen, it's about you going to tell somebody about this King Jesus, that he loves them and he has a plan for their life and that he can forgive them and he can restore them and that there's hope and understanding that you need to seek his ways. And I'm going to encourage you, even though that you've been around, you know, the church for many years, you know, you've been around other believers, you may need to go back and find out the original intent. You need to get discipled. Right. You need to get discipled. You need to begin to abide with God. And you can do that. You can go to iAbide and request a free plan. We have a simple plan for you. If you don't have one already, go to iAbide.org. And request it. Immediately, it will come to you. And we have some basic foundational tools for you. First of all, you can just start hanging out with God and abiding. We have even a video how to do it, you know, real simple. But then there's also discipleship. There's some Foundations of Faith booklets that you can get that begins to build. Because you've been around for a long time, you think you're supposed to know something. But there's people that graduated from high school that couldn't even read.
Mm-hmm.
So just because they went to high school don't mean they have an education. Just because you've been hanging around the church doesn't mean you've been discipled. And we're finding out over the years that people have hung around for years but don't even know the basic Jesus as Lord. Mm-hmm. And so be willing to say, you know what? I'm going to go back and get the foundation again because I have not even thought about going out and advancing the kingdom of God. I never thought about rightly relating that I am the church. And that I need to go be the church and the word of God applies to me and not just to a building organization or that type of thing. So I want to encourage you, the kingdom of God, looking at the original intent of the church.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos and joining with me is Pat and Chris. We were talking before the break about glorifying the Lord in everything that you do, and you don't have to wait till one day of the week. You don't have to let it boil down to just one day for a couple of hours to say, I'm going to glorify God. Listen, you can live a lifestyle that glorifies the Lord, and in fact, we actually talked about it on the torch. It's called My Life, His Glory, and just take a look at that, and we really encourage you, but I want you to listen to an all-star baseball player. I mean, who would have thought that just a sport or, you know, an activity like that, you can worship God? But I want you to listen to his story and listen how he approaches the game.
Chase Headley is among baseball's new emerging all-stars.
Not flashy by any means. I would say serious. Hard-nosed. Passionate. I cherish, you know, the moment. I love what I do.
He's had to. The San Diego Padres third baseman survived four major league seasons before finally delivering on his long-awaited potential.
It's a learning curve. I mean, you come into the league and obviously you're confident, you know what you can do, but you're also playing against the best players in the world every day. And, you know, it takes a while to get used to that. You got to keep working. You got to be diligent in your work. You know, improve a little bit each and every day.
Chase had a career year last season, hitting 31 home runs and leading the National League in runs batted in. He's now among the game's elite, both offensively and defensively, becoming just the eighth National League third baseman ever to win both the Gold Glove and Silver Slugger Award in the same season.
It was a breakout year for me, but you know what I always thought I could do. Hadn't shown it in the big leagues, but it felt great to get there.
So what makes this Major League Silver Slugging third baseman unique? For Chase Headley, it's his power source, where it comes from, and how he uses it.
You know, God didn't make us to be, you know, passive, timid people. Baseball for me is a form of worship, and I expect to go out there and win and compete and play as hard as I possibly can.
Circle back to that. Explain that. How is it an act of worship?
Worship isn't just singing songs or dancing or whatever it is. Anything that we do can be an act of worship. You know, I think it's important that we realize that. And those days you go out there where you don't feel good, you know, you're a little bit tired, you don't feel like being there, whatever it is, or on the practice field, you know, that's where I go to. You know, I say, hey, man, I'm doing this for God today. Whatever it is, you know, I'm taking ground balls in the backfield. Hey, I'm doing this for Jesus. And that gives me that little extra drive to, you know, to stay focused.
That focus first came as a high school freshman when a neighbor and teammate invited Chase to his house for a Fellowship of Christian Athletes event.
The message was on salvation and, you know, just really felt a spiritual pull, you know, in that direction. I mean, it was, you know, it was clear that I was supposed to be there at that time and, you know, really turned my life over to Christ that night.
His reputation as a team first player and locker room leader is respected among teammates, coaches, and opponents.
You have a chance to be a light. It's the relationships you build, is caring about other people, how you deal with adversity, with failure. And the best part about it is when you don't even say anything about it and somebody approaches you and says, hey man, I see something a little bit different about you. You know, just the peace that you have to deal with ups and downs, or, you know, each and every day, you're just a consistent, you know, influence in our clubhouse. And what is it? And then you get the opportunity to open up and say it.
The baseball veteran is using his platform to encourage and inspire others.
For me, you know, it's just to share the gospel. I mean, I think that's the most important thing I can do. I think God put me in this position for that purpose. And, you know, I just want to live that out for him.
His recent success is making a name for himself, but he's quick to deflect the credit, even with a post-home run gesture.
Circle the bases. next time I watch that? What's going through your mind? What's going through your heart?
It's just, thanking God for giving me the opportunity to play the game, to have an impact. Just again, it's a worship saying, I love you. This is about you. This is not about me. I look at it to take the spotlight off me and to put it on God. And that's where I want, I want to be a mirror. I want it to, whoever looks at me to see Christ.
His profession rewards with notoriety and money. But Chase has grabbed a faith that empowers his life and career.
For me, I always thought looking up, man, if I could ever make it to the major leagues, my life is going to be complete. And I can tell you, it's not any different than it was before, other than the fact that I have Christ in my life. And, that's what completes me. That's what gives me the sense of, peace, my sense of purpose. You've done something so bad that nobody can forgive you. Well, there's one person that can forgive you, and that's Jesus Christ.
Powerful, powerful, powerful. Here's a guy who, understand that this is not just your average player. This guy led the league last year with 31 home runs. That is very impressive. And runs batted in, that's RBIs. Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's he is not only hitting home runs, but he's bringing runners that were on base to score. Not mm-hmm. only did he phenomenally at the bat, which is scoring, but then he got a Golden Glove Award. And the Golden Glove Award is given to the best player every year in that position mm-hmm. for fielding.
Mm-hmm.
For, no errors and that type of stuff. So on both sides of the field, if you will, he has just been a phenomenal player, and he credits the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's so important, because sometimes you can get caught in some sort of a mindset or a rut that says, I'm just going to my job. I'm just going to do time to make the donuts. The old Dunkin' Donut commercial. What I'm saying? It's time to do the donuts. It's time to do whatever. And you get in your car, you got your cup of coffee, and you're headed, and Sunday you're dreading, come Sunday morning, you're already dreading Monday morning. You can't even enjoy the weekend
mm-hmm.
because you're going to this place, maybe this place you call your job, and there's no sense of purpose, no sense of direction. It's just that, I'm working just to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 8, 9, maybe even 10 hours of your day that for you right now, if this is you, seems to be wasted. And let me tell you something, if you're a believer, you can reclaim every single hour of your life. Colossians tells us to do our work as if we're doing it unto the Lord. Think about that you can do your work, whatever your work is, as if you're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to do things with excellence. He wants us to do things with honor. And that means that if you're sweeping the floor, you're going to sweep the floor mm-hmm. unto the glory of God.
That's right.
If you're doing your homework, you're going to try to do it unto the glory of God. Whatever that is, it changes your whole perspective on life, because you're not just going now working a job or working for a boss or a supervisor, but really you're working as unto the Lord. And it's really powerful, because I think that many people believers have taken the mindset that maybe, the only thing that happens spiritual in my life is what happens maybe on a Sunday morning, in America.
Right.
But this rest of the stuff that I do all week is just a job.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think many people feel defeated
mm-hmm.
and think, well, man, does God even, see that I'm doing this, or I'm working at this job, or... If a mechanic is turning wrenches all day underneath the car, does God not care about that?
Right.
Well, let me tell you something. If he's a believer and he loves the Lord, he's doing that unto the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And he can do it unto his glory. And I want to encourage you, just like this baseball player, that he's there playing sports. He's doing, phenomenal. And I love this, what the interviewer was doing. So he was pointing up in the sky every time he hits a home run. And we've seen people do that. We've all seen people do it. Mm-hmm. I want to give glory to God or whatever. And they weren't believers. But mm-hmm. it's something powerful when a genuine person who is a believer, there's fruit in their life that says they know Jesus, maybe like a Tim Tebow who kneels down or another athlete. But this athlete says he points up to the sky after hitting a home run to take the glory off of himself.
Right.
And to put it back where the glory belongs, and it's God.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage you today that as you're doing your work and you start being recognized and you can always deflect that glory right back to the Lord. It's what we're supposed to do.
That's right.
We're supposed to be like the moon. You know, the moon doesn't have any glory of its own. It doesn't have any light of its own. It's actually reflecting the glory of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And we are called to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you really get a hold of this revelation, it will revolutionize your life as a believer, because you're not going to a job of dread. I mean, do you remember that? I remember that in my life. It's
miserable.
Miserable. I mean, you can't even enjoy the weekend or whatever because you're going to in your mind, you still got locked down thinking I'm going to this job.
Mm-hmm.
But how much can that change your whole paradigm when you embrace the fact that, man, I'm doing this unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to worship God in my work, and I want to do with excellence and with character. Mm-hmm. And how many times did that get the attention of a supervisor or somebody?
It'll make you feel better about yourself,
yeah.
Knowing that you're going out there and you're doing this. Like, you know, I've always tried to teach my kids this, but you do everything to the best of your ability.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I tell them that very scripture you're talking about. You do everything as if you're doing it unto the Lord Himself.
Yeah.
And it'll cause you to want to take pride in what you're doing. And then when you do it and you look at what you've done, and knowing that no matter what it was, you've done it to the best of your ability, you can be proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not proud of what you've just done, you know, you lose confidence, you lose self-esteem, you know, it just causes you to maybe have a different outlook.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. You could embrace that, and I know you didn't mean this, but probably you're satisfied with what you've done because you know you've done it unto the Lord. You're not taking pride in yourself.
Right.
You're honoring the fact to say, wow, this was done with excellence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And all of that wasn't for, so I can get the attention, but it was so that, wow, God, look, I did this. It was good. Mm-hmm. It came out right. It came out good. And it's my way of showing you that I love you. And
you're worshiping God with your talents.
Yeah.
You know, this is what God has given me.
Yeah.
You know, this is a talent that He's given me, so I'm putting it to use. I'm worshiping God with what He's given. And that's what worship is. You give back to God with what He's given you.
Mm-hmm.
So He's given you these talents to do, you know, run the soundboard, you know, talk on the radio, whatever your job is, that's what you're doing. And you're
cook, clean, whatever.
Right. You're worshiping God by doing that.
Yeah.
To the best of your, you know, ability that He's given you, the strength.
It's powerful because, like you said, it makes you feel really good.
Right. Yeah. Really, it's just amazing. When you realize who you're doing it for, mm-hmm. The whole perspective changes. I mean, you're just your focus is not on yourself; it's on Him now.
Right.
Like, I'm gonna do this because whatever I'm doing reflects either poorly on Him, mm-hmm. or it's gonna reflect good. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
You know.
Yeah.
It's so good because every day now you can in this worship is. Engaged worship. I mean, you have to engage yourself every day. You don't run on a default, you know, okay, I'm just going to do this. It gives you an opportunity, not only by the day, but by the hour. You know, break your days up in halves, before lunch, after lunch, but reset yourself. You have to intentionally reset yourself because we forget. But don't let the enemy rob you from it. Reset yourself. Write it down. Put it on your timer, your phone, whatever you got to do. And say, I want to do this back unto the glory of God, because when we glorify the Lord and we start doing this in these areas, we become so familiar and we get in a routine of saying, hey, my whole life, this is what I'm about. It's amazing how it'll begin to spill over in other areas of your life, and not just in your work, but then in how you treat others, mm-hmm. how you treat your neighbor, your business transactions, everything you'll want to do. You know, unto His glory, your family, your finances, your business, mm-hmm. all these different areas. And what will happen is that this huge glory cloud will come all around you in all these areas, in your marriage, in your family, in your finances, in your personal accountability, in your entrustments. And no one will be able to see you anymore, but they'll be able to see
mm-hmm.
Christ in you.
Mm-hmm.
This glory cloud will emanate, you know, will just radiate off of you, and they'll be seeing Jesus. And that's what people are really looking for these days. They're looking for folks that are walking the walk, not just talking the talk, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah, and your walk has to line up with your talk, and nothing speaks more than your fruit, because that shows that, man, look, this is the real deal. I love God, and I'm not going to talk about it, but I'm actually going to be about it.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
You know, quite often, you know, we're looking and we're searching, we're trying to find out, you know, maybe this will actually make me feel better. Maybe this job will fix me. Maybe this relationship will fix me. Maybe money will fix me. Maybe education will fix me. Maybe medication will fix me. I don't know what it is, but something we're always trying to, we don't consciously say, hey, I need a fix. We don't consciously say, I have a hole in my heart and I'm trying to fill it. But the truth is, if we really studied it, if we really thought it through, the truth is that we have a hole in our heart and we're trying to fill it and nothing's working. And I'm going to tell you something, that journey that you went on, that you went to relationship after relationship, you went to job after job, you went after money, you went after fame, whatever it is, and it leaves you not only dry, but it leaves you shameful. It leaves you like, I'm not worth anything now. But let me tell you something, that was nothing but a distraction, that our God, through his son, Jesus Christ, can actually cleanse you from all that. Don't worry about it. It's only religious people who will tell you that God won't accept you. That's like the Pharisees. That's the whole reason why Jesus came for us. You know, you've got to meet God through his son, Jesus Christ. There's nothing more powerful. As a matter of fact, we shared a few of our stories at meetmyfather.org. We've shared a couple of them just to find out so you can get the different perspectives of how, you know, the people that God saves. You know, Paul said this. He said, the reason why God saved me is because I was the chiefest of sinners. And by looking at me, you can see how big his grace is. There's enough grace for you. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Vine Fellowship Network University. VFNU.org. Let me tell you a little bit about it. You got to understand how things start and what God says and how God, when he begins to do something, a new thing, a new work, mm-hmm. he will normally call a people out from what he presently or in the past established so he can begin not a new gospel, but a fresh wind, a fresh anointing for the next generation, mm-hmm. you know. And one thing that we found out at Vine Fellowship Network is that, you know, God was preparing us for this next season of what's taking place. It really looks like possibly for the end times, right. You know, but either way, it's for our generation, you know, and at Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU, you can actually begin to learn and grow because God's called you into the harvest field. It's not really an option. It's not the great option. It's mm-hmm. or the suggestion. It's the Great Commission. And in VFNU, you'll learn the history of how did the Vine Fellowship Network come to pass. I mean, how did it happen? And it came from a compelling and a word and a direction from God, mm-hmm. and totally in alignment. Everything that we're aware of that is a related and scripturally correct. It just ties in. You can't help but look in every direction. And Vine Fellowship Network University, the pattern, the biblical pattern that he's called us to walk out, which is just the word of God, mm-hmm. that it reminds you of God.
Right.
You know, and a true prophet draws you closer to God, and a false prophet draws you closer to themselves. Mm-hmm. And our desire at Vine Fellowship Network University and VFN is to for you to be drawn closer to God. A byproduct of that is you're going to be closer to your brothers and sisters in the Lord. But that is you're closer to God, you're hungrier for God. So in VFNU, you learn things about, you know, how the church is to function. You know, right now, we've taken on so many mindsets of the world, especially the American board business mindset, mm-hmm. that we're convinced that the Father's business is like the world's business, but it's not.
Right.
And we also talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in the church. You know, what is, you can't rule out the one who's supposed to be, you know, ruling the church and under Jesus, and understanding how control is God, and understanding the importance of being rightly related. And the, you know, there's biblical, daily, weekly, There's patterns that we as believers that God tells us to go by in his word, and you'll discover what they mean biblically, how they fit, financial integrity, you know, finding out how we can best do what's right before God in our financial areas, mm-hmm. discovering the biblical patterns of gathering as a church, the importance of maintaining your confidence, understanding the voice of the Lord, how God can speak with you, to you, mm-hmm. you know, biblical foundations of faith, dealing with authority, zero tolerance, walk, worship, and warfare. I mean, there's so many things that you learn through VFNU mm-hmm. that it just empowers you to do what God's called you to do. Listen, we want to see everything that God's called you to be manifest in your life, and we want to see you in the Great Commission. We're in agreement with you. Find out more at vfnu.org. That's vfnu.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. We're just talking about glorifying the Lord in all that you do. How encouraging is that? My goodness, you're talking about purpose and vision, a reason to get up every morning? Listen, it's not, oh my goodness, I have to go to school, or I have to go to work, or I have to do this, or I have to do that. No, it's I get to, with every bit of my being, with every fiber of my being, I can intentionally love on God, go after God, and glorify him in everything that I do. So I want to encourage you, listen, if you missed that and you're just joining us here on this break, you know, go back and catch the first hour and listen to how just this baseball player, by glorifying the Lord and being diligent and working hard every day, is really bringing glory and honor to the Lord. And it's not about his amazing stats and his profession, but it's all about Jesus. And I want to encourage you, you can do the same. You can do the same. But I wanted to talk, as we come, you know, to the end of our first hour, about different things that happen to us in life. And, you know, so many times people are tempted to defend themselves. Mm-hmm. I know, Pat, this is not something that you... I'll just look at this direction to Chris. Like, Chris, I'll just look at you, because we know he doesn't have this. He doesn't battle with this thing at all, but we'll just look at Chris right now. But so many times people are tempted, right?
Yeah.
To defend themselves, and they just don't want to be wronged or mistreated. I mean, really, who wants to be wronged or mistreated anyway? Mm-hmm. But sometimes you fall into a temptation where becomes argumentative. It comes to the point of defending, you know, people don't want to lose face, if you will. They don't want to lose face. They don't want to be brought down low. And which really, I mean, you think about that, is to be brought low means that you were actually up high. You know, if you stay low, you won't have to be fearful of being brought low.
You don't have far to fall.
Yeah. Isn't that a good thing? But if you stay low, you don't have to be worried about being brought low. Right. If you stay low, you can, you know, we're supposed to be. They don't want to be the lesser in any situation. They don't want to be the one that is disadvantaged. Don't want to be the lesser role, the lower role. Mm-hmm. They certainly don't want to be taken advantage of, or even the perception of being mm-hmm. taken advantage of. And what we find in the book of Acts is where Stephen is actually testifying to the Sanhedrin. Stephen is letting it rip in Acts 7, you know, so some 6, 7, and 8. Mm-hmm. And he's just sharing the truth, you know. And in this, Acts 6, 9 says that opposition arose from the members of the synagogue. Let me tell you something. When you tell the truth, not everybody's going to be happy. Mm-hmm. I mean, not everyone's going to be, as Phil Roberson says, happy, happy, happy. And Duck Dynasty, right? Not everyone's going to be happy, because they don't want to hear the truth. They just don't want to hear the truth. Well, these men began to argue with Stephen, the Word of God says, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by whom he spoke. You see, sometimes people will try to rise their tongue against you, and they'll try to speak against Maybe what, in particular, what God's called you to do, or God's told you to do, or what God's told you to say, and they're trying to wrap their carnal mind around the spiritual thing that God has said to do.
Right.
You know, that never works. Mm-mm, you know,
no.
That's a recipe for disaster. And they were offended by the truth. They were offended by the truth that Stephen was sharing. And listen, the truth offends. And we talked about this last week. The truth offends anyone that's not interested in the truth. The truth is offensive for those that try to hide from the truth, that try to cover the truth, that don't want nothing to do with the truth. It's offensive because it points out what they're doing is dead wrong.
Right.
And in Acts 7:54, when they heard this, they were furious. They were furious with Stephen. Like, who are you to be saying this? Who are you? Just listen, I don't know. God just told me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
Who are you? They were furious and they gnashed their teeth at him. Come on now. You know that they had to be upset.
Mm-hmm.
They had to be upset. And then, Chris, they began stoning Stephen. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Here's Stephen just tell them the truth. Tell them the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what was that? I just felt something at my shin. You know what I'm saying? Like, my right kneecap.
Right.
And you're being stoned. Stoned. Let me tell you something. Humility is speaking the truth in love, even at the risk of personal loss to you. That's huge.
Yeah.
Because you're trusting God. When your life is in the hands of the Lord, no defense is needed. No defense is needed. Because you can trust them. You can trust them. Pride causes one to bow up and feel they're entitled to defend themselves. Isn't that something? It's like, yeah. What did you say? Or,
yeah.
You know, you cut me off. Or
what you talking about, Willis?
What you talking about, Willis? I mean, how could you? The nerve, the gall, the audacity to say something to
you. You ain't talking about me.
But think about it. You know, someone would say, well, it's just natural to defend yourself. It's natural in the flesh and in the carnal nature to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that side is natural. But are we supposed to live in the flesh, or we are supposed to live in the spirit?
That's right.
Right? And when you think about it, I mean, you see this a lot. You know, people want to defend themselves to argue a point. How many needless arguments are there where people will fight tooth and nail to prove themselves right instead of just being wrong,
mm-hmm.
or misunderstood, to defend their point of view? It's like, sir, does that really matter? Are you willing to go down to the mat on this one? You know what I'm saying? It's like,
right.
Are you willing to go down to the mat to defend that point of view, which is really only an opinion maybe, not even fact? But even if it was the fact or the truth, why are we even arguing? If it's the truth, it's the truth. If it's the truth, it's the truth. Why would we need to argue that? Why would we need to go down to the mat,
mm-hmm.
and make someone say, uncle, to make them see what we think is correct? How about defending a reputation? Like, oh my goodness, you have one? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
You have one to defend?
Right.
You know,
is it like, that good?
Yeah, I'm like, hey, you know, that's, you know, I'll leave that one alone.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Really? Beliefs. Knowledge. And it was like, knowledge puffs up. Why would we want to do that? Even trying to defend God. Listen, let me tell you something. God doesn't need no defending. God's truth stands alone. When all this happens, we got to realize that what's happening in our life is that we're moving in a spirit of pride.
Mm-hmm.
Pride has taken a hold of us, and it's consuming us to the point that it's gotten all into our fiber and we're just going nuts on this thing. And it's like, wait a minute. We don't have to do that. When we come back after this, in the extra hour, we're going to be talking more about how we don't have to defend ourselves. Listen, when your life is in the hands of the Lord, when God's got your back, when the Heavenly Father is your Father, no personal defense is needed because He's got your back.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. Heard about the podcast, but I'm excited about the podcast. The podcast for VFN TV, the daily radio program. Look, think about it. Mm-hmm. A podcast, this is what a podcast does. It happens without you doing anything.
Oh, that's good.
Once you subscribe to the our podcast, the entire day's programs, teachings that are loosed, if they're available on VFN TV, released. The highlights, you know, the each individual highlights that you see on the VFN Torch. I mean, this automatically, if you subscribe to the podcast, and it's a podcast, it will just download somehow miraculously into your computer, into your iPhone, into your Android, and you don't even need to be hooked up in the Wi-Fi or anything like that.
It's good.
It just will automatically download it so you can listen to what you want to listen to when you want to listen to it, because it's sitting inside your phone, your iPod, your Android, your computer. It's sitting in there like it's a song that you purchased and sits in your playlist. That's what a podcast is, which is pretty cool, because what that means is this, that everything that's ever happened in the broadcast, all these different topics and wisdom and everything that we're sharing with you to encourage you, but also to encourage others, that you can have them yourself. You don't have to buy them. You don't have to sign up to get something. They just download automatically through the podcast. Make sure you check it out. Go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to the podcast today.
You know, I began to learn a lot of things about building, you know, spending time with Pat. Yeah. The more time I'm actually spending with Pat, the less time I'm actually putting Band-Aids on my thumbs from like hitting the hammer and trying to build something. And I'm learning a lot from him. I remember when we were working on one of the projects we were doing, he pulls out his iPhone. And I'm like, an iPhone while we're working, while we're building stuff, middle hammer, 2x4. And he was checking the level of a 2x4. I was like, What are you doing? He's like, I got an app for that. I'm like, get out of here. He's like, yeah. He has a level as an app on his iPhone.
Are you kidding me? A level?
Yeah.
On the phone. And what does the level do? Is that the balancing thing?
Yeah, because, I don't know, apparently he had like left a level in the truck or left a level at the house. And and there it is, like the bubbles and everything, the lines. He was checking the level of his the 2x4 off his iPhone. And we start talking, and he says, yeah, I mean, have you checked out the new app for the VFN TV, VFN Daily Radio program? And I was like, there's an app for that? He's like, yeah, there's an app for that. He says, you can go right on iTunes right now. And you can also go on the Android, because Android has it now too. You can go on VFN TV, type it in, and there's an app for that. Click download, and everywhere you go, you got us right there with you. You got all the live content. You've got all the live programming. You've got everything right there. It's like VFN TV on the go.